Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13, entitled Rahu Gana Converses with Jat Bharat. Text number 5. Adrishyam Jilhe Swana Karna Sula Uluka Vagbir Vyatitan Taratma Vyatitan Taratma Apunya Vrikshan Shrayate Shudadito Marichi Toyani. Abhidva Vati Kvachit Adrishya Jilhe Swana Karna Sula Uluka Vagbir Vyatitantatmana. Uluka Vagbir Vyatitantatmana. Punya Vrikshan Shrayate Shudarito Marichito Yanya Bidavati Kvachet Adrishya Jilhe Swana Karna Sula Uluka Vagbir Vyatitandhatma. Apunya Vriksham Shrayate Shudadito. Marichito Yanya Bidvavati Kvachit.
Thank you.
Vaishnavis, Matajis, invisible, jale of crickets, or a kind of bee, swana, by the sounds, karna suna, whose ears are disturbed, uloka, of the owls, vagpi, by sound vibrations, viatita, very disturbed, antaratma, whose mind and heart, apunyavrikshan, impious trees that have no fruits or flowers, shrayate, he takes shelter of, shuddha, from hunger, ardita, a suffering, marichitoyani, the waters of a mirage in the desert, abhidhavati, he runs after, kvachit, sometimes. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Wandering in the forest of the material world, the conditioned soul sometimes hears an invisible cricket making harsh sounds, and his ears become very much aggrieved. Sometimes his heart is pained by the sounds of owls, which are just like harsh words of his enemies. Sometimes he takes shelter of a tree that has no fruits or flowers. He approaches such a tree due to his strong appetite, and thus he suffers. He would like to acquire water, but he is simply illusioned by a mirage and he runs after it. Purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that the Bhagavata philosophy is meant for people who are completely free from envy. Paramo nirmat sananam. The material world is full of envious people. Even within one's inner circle, there is much backbiting, and this is compared to the sound vibration of a cricket in the forest. One cannot see the cricket, but one hears its sounds and thus becomes aggrieved. When one takes to Krishna consciousness, one always hears unpalatable words from relatives. This is the nature of the world. One cannot avoid mental distress due to the backbiting of envious people. Being very much aggrieved, sometimes one goes to a sinful person for help, but he has no means to help because he has no intelligence. Thus the living entity is disappointed. This is like running after a mirage in the desert in an effort to find water. Such activities do not produce any tangible results due to being directed by the illusory energy a conditioned soul suffers in so many ways. Omigyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kaupa Tadubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One leading disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he approached Srila Prabhupada about envy. And he felt in his humility that he was suffering from envy. It was affecting him greatly to the extent that it was disturbing his chanting of japa and also disturbing his relationships with other devotees. So when he approached Srila Prabhupada that he is envious and so forth, and Srila Prabhupada responded that, can you think of any reasons not to be envious of other devotees? Can you think of any reasons not to be envious of other devotees? So this leading devotee, he thought of many reasons. And because it was disturbing to his chanting and his relationship with other devotees, he thought of many reasons not to be envious, which Prabhupada asked him to think about. So he came to the conclusion that Krishna is unlimited and service to Krishna is unlimited. So therefore, why be envious of someone else who has service like that? Other devotees have this service, he has his service, so why be envious? And then after that thought, responding to Srila Prabhupada's query, can you think of any reasons not to be envious? He replied to Srila Prabhupada's question, yes, there are many reasons not to be envious. Like that. Then Srila Prabhupada continued and said that being envious of someone means you don't like them. Now, I thought about that myself after hearing this anecdote in exchange for this devotee leading devotee at Srila Prabhupada. Now there is a difference between envy and jealousy. Jealousy is a mild form of envy, but it does not break relationships. It does not break relationships. So we'll give you a principal example. Like Srimati Radharani is always jealous of Chandravali. Is that okay? But it is not a form of envy. Like that. So we'll discuss that later on, more in detail. Like that. So therefore Srila Prabhupada said, envy means that you do not like someone. Like that. So Srila Prabhupada cushioned the intensity of envy in those two words, not liking. Now if you do not like someone, it doesn't mean to say that you're going to kill them. It doesn't mean to say that, you know, you're going to cut off a relationship. Like that. So when Srila Prabhupada cushioned the word envy in the consciousness of that leading disciple into not liking, he brought about a sort of, you could say, consciousness that we cannot get rid of envy, but that envious nature of one devotee to another can be restricted to the word not liking, which is a lightened form of envy called maybe jealousy. Like that. So now Srila Prabhupada continued and he said that not liking should not be directed towards devotees. That not liking should be directed towards the demons who are causing so much havoc in the world because they are disturbing devotees. Like that. So therefore it should not be directed to devotees, Srila Prabhupada said. So after I heard this exchange with this leading disciple and Srila Prabhupada, possibly about 15-20 years ago, I was reading the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam at one time. And there I read in a purport that Srila Prabhupada quoted Srila Narottam Das Thakur's song from Prema Bhakti Chandrika. That Krodha Bhakti Dvesha Jane. This Krodha Bhakti Dvesha Jane. Now envy or not liking materially will lead to anger, will lead to being angry with the person, like that. So this Krodha Bhakti Dvesh, in other words Krodha Bhakti Dveshi Jana, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, quoted by Srila Prabhupada, says that anger should be used to punish a demon who is envious of devotees. Like that. And this is a wonderful thing because karma, as well as the lusty propensity or called passion and krodha, it has the proper use in relation to Krishna and the devotee. It has its proper use. We are normally schooled in bhakti philosophy that we should give up lust, which leads to anger, which is anger is like anujena. Anger is born out of lust. Anu, it's coming out of lust. Like the famous verse, kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguna, samudbhavaha, like that. But Srila Prabhupada, you know, he follows Srila Rupa Goswami's principle. And Nirbandh Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagyam Uchate. In other words, anger amongst the devotees, which is a not liking feature, not real envy, can be dovetailed even in relationships amongst devotees, so long as one does not cut off the relationship like that. So when Srila Prabhupada was quoting Srila Narottam Das Thakur, you know, Krodha Bhakti Dveshi Jane, in another purport, he gives a nice phrase, Bhakti Yoga in Anger. And he gives a nice phrase like that, Bhakti Yoga in Anger, in the third canto, in that sense, like that. So therefore, a devotee of the Lord, he dovetails this anger which has arisen out of envy towards devotees, but he dovetails it towards the demons who are actually envious of devotees, like that. So therefore Srila Prabhupada says, a devotee of the Lord, he cannot tolerate blasphemy of the Lord as well as the Lord's devotees, and therefore the Lord cannot tolerate blasphemy of a devotee. So therefore one should not at any time, in other words, tolerate blasphemy and insults against the Lord and his devotees. So this will relieve one, or this will take away that nature of not liking devotees amongst themselves. When you dovetail that not liking to somebody else who is disturbing devotees, like that, this will take that out, like that. Srila Prabhupada also was quite popular in this regard, in his missionary spirit, where he dovetailed his own propensity to be angry towards those who are disturbing devotees, especially two kinds. As yesterday, His Grace, was it Varna Kata Prabhu? You got it right? Your name? Varna Kata, right? Trana Kata Prabhu was so nicely saying that Srila Prabhupada always took great pleasure in smashing the scientists. Took great pleasure in smashing the scientists, and he also took the great pleasure in smashing the Mayavadis. Like that, in smashing the Mayavadis. There's one incident like that, that Srila Prabhupada, one time in Varanasi or Banaras, which is the seat of the Mayavad Mahans, like that. So he went there to preach, like that. So the devotees took him, and because Srila Prabhupada is Jagat Guru, World Acharya, many of the other so-called Swamis and Sadhus were attending, and he was the, you could say, the prime attraction for the whole, you know, Sangha Samelam. He was the prime attraction. So the wealthy industrialist who actually arranged the whole program, he makes sure that he keeps Srila Prabhupada towards the end so that nobody will leave, because he was the main attraction as Jagat Guru of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Like that. So Srila Prabhupada was sitting and he heard the first Mayavadi speak. And just hearing him, Srila Prabhupada was fuming. He was angry, like that. Then he heard the next person speak, like that. And he became even more angry, like that. And then he sent a message through his disciples to the organizer, like that. And he said, I want to speak now. But I will not leave. He couldn't tolerate hearing anymore. I want to speak now, but I will not leave. I will stay for the program. Like that. And if you do not allow me to speak now, I am leaving. Like that. So immediately they adjusted the program and they got the main attraction person, Srila Prabhupada, onto the stage. Like that. And when Srila Prabhupada spoke, the devotees were saying, he was literally like, you know, in the Vyasasthan, he was literally going up and down, just smashing the Mayavadis, like anything. It's because he couldn't tolerate blasphemy of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So then, when Srila Prabhupada came off the main stage and he was sitting, while the host, the main organizer, was busy, Srila Prabhupada said, let us leave. Without even telling the host, he left. So in the car, Srila Prabhupada was sitting in the back. A devotee was driving and one devotee was the passenger and another devotee was sitting in the back with Srila Prabhupada. Like that. And Srila Prabhupada said, did you see? I smashed them. Like, you know, in the joy of a young boy, you know, very youthful. I smashed them. So much ecstasy he got out of that. Did you see? I smashed them. And then the disciple was sitting with him in the back, like that. They also got into that euphoria of Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Srila Prabhupada, we saw, you smashed them. And somehow, innocently, when he saw Srila Prabhupada did like that, he also did like that, and his hand went in front of Srila Prabhupada's face. Yes, Srila Prabhupada, and you smashed them. And the hand came in the front. And Srila Prabhupada said, oh? Oh? So, quietly the devotee pulled his hand back. You know? And then Srila Prabhupada, like in moments, the whole mood changed. First he was so, you know, joyful that he smashed them, and suddenly, oh, you know, and the hand came back. And when the hand came back, and the mood completely changed in the car, he became so grave, as he normally is most times, became so grave. And then the devotee was saying, and then Srila Prabhupada said, that I can do, but you cannot do. So we cannot imitate at the same time. And then Srila Prabhupada said, you know, I am an old man and they will listen to me, but you all are young men. They will fight with you if you speak like this. Like that. So we see that a devotee is generally very humble and meek. And a devotee is reluctant to even pick even a little quarrel with other devotees, what to speak of anyone else. Like that. So in that sense, nor does a devotee envy anyone, because a devotee is a friend of every living entity. But that doesn't mean if a devotee is a friend of every living entity, that he goes and embraces a tiger. In other words, he keeps a respectful distance at the same time respecting every living entity. But no envy. No envy in that sense. So although a devotee maintains, Srila Prabhupada says, an attitude of meekness and gentleness, still a devotee, it is a great fault on the part of the devotee if he remains silent when the Lord and his devotees are blasphemed or offended. It is a great fault on that part of the same devotee. Like that. Now we know, Bhagavad Gita says, you know, Ichadasha Samutena Dvanva Mohena Bharata and Sarva Bhutani Sammohan Sarge Yanti Paran Tapaha. So this Icha and Dvesha, all of us, well, maybe more particularly me, like that, I am born with material desire, you know, Icha and Dvesha, born with hate. like that. And Srila Prabhupada loosely translates that hate in another place. When the disciple asked him, what is it? He said, envy. You can only hate someone if you are envious of them. Like that. So naturally the material body, both gross and subtle, comes with the qualities of material desire and envious of others. Like that. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada gives a nice analogy how amongst devotees we should discount this nature of being envious of other devotees or not liking, like that. So he gives a nice analogy of a mango. A mango is nice, Srila Prabhupada said. And the mango is nice even if it is unripened. What to speak of being ripened? Mango is nice even if it is not ripe, like that. So therefore he says mango is always good, whether it's green or whether it is ripe, like that. Now one time also Srila Prabhupada said mango is Falakaraja, it is the king of all fruits. So and sometimes Srila Prabhupada used to say that the green mango sometimes is more expensive than the ripe mango in the market. It is even more valuable than the ripe mango in the market, because you can make so many achar, you know, pickles and so forth. With the ripe mango you cannot, like that, in that sense. So therefore in the association of devotees we may associate with devotees who are still green. That means a green mango in its formative stages in the beginning, when you bite into it, it could be a little bitter. Like that. So similarly, when you associate with devotees who are like green, their association also may be bitter. In that sense. But if you give it time, that same mango, if it's attached to the tree, if it receives sufficient water, it will become bitter sour, sour sweet, and then sweet. And similarly, if the mango is exposed to the sunlight, which is not ignorance, darkness, but the sunlight of the association of devotees, then that mango will mature and grow into its sweetened stage. So similarly, if we associate with devotees and we feel that that association is bitter for me, we should tolerate to the degree that the devotee is still chanting Hare Krishna. Mahaprabhu likens chanting to the watering process of the Bhakti Lata beach, the devotional kripa. And similarly, if you see that devotee is always attracted to the association of devotees, one should tolerate, because in time to come, in due course, that devotee will mature nicely into a bitter, sour, sour, sweet, and sweet devotee. That's how it is, like that. And then again, association of devotees is like taking a feast. Now, in the a way that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates and also Srila Prabhupada, when they honor a regular cultured feast according to Gaudiya Vaishnav culture, which preparation do you take first? The bitter preparations, yes. Why do you take the bitter preparations first? We take the bitter preparations first so that the taste buds are prepared for the bitter sour. And then eventually you take the sweet preparations. Now if you take the sweet preparations immediately, it will taste sweet. But if you taste the bitter preparations and bitter sour and then sweet, the sweet preparations will taste even sweeter still. Like that. So one has to go through the bitter stage of the association of devotees and then bitter sour stage to actually relish the sweetness of a devotee association. Now, if devotee association is always sweet, it is boring. There has to be some bitterness of association amongst devotees to actually experience what this is, what there is sweet, what is actually sweet. So, Srila Prabhupada used to say, a Bengali saying, you know, wherever you go, your forehead goes with you. So in other words, the grass is never green on the other side. So therefore, if you are placed in devotional service, in Krishna consciousness, in sadhana bhakti, within a particular community of devotees, it is higher arrangement for you to taste the bitter association of devotees and then bitter, sour and sweet. Why? Simply because one has to tolerate. And this brings us to the basic philosophy, which is so much spoken by Srila Prabhupada in most of his lectures. The basic philosophy. And what is that? He may paraphrase in different ways in his lectures. What is that? Dehinosmin yata deha komaran yovanam jara tata dehantara praptir. We very well know the first three lines. I am spirit soul, I am not the body. At the time of leaving the body, the spirit soul enters into another body. We very well know that. But what is most important in that verse is dhiras tatrana muyate. In other words, a sober person is not bewildered by the change of body. So how to become dhira from the drunken state of the bodily conception of life? How to become sober from the drunken state of the bodily conception of life? There's only one way. Literally speaking, there's only one way. And that is given in the next verse. Matras pasas to Akunteya. Sitoshna sukha dukada. Agama painyanitas tanti tiksasa bharata. We very well also know this verse. We can quote it freely and easily. Like that. So here, this sensory perception, matras pasas, is the problem. Because we are still in the bodily conception of life, we misidentify somebody else's bitterness of association with us due to the spasas. But actually, every devotee is potentially pure and divine. Every devotee, whether he is a bitter mango or a sweet mango, he is still a mango, he is still a devotee. Like that. So therefore, Sita and Ushna is easy. When winter comes, you can make a atmosphere adjustment. You have a heater. And when someone comes, you make an atmosphere adjustment. You have a air conditioner. But the Sukha and Dukkha, you cannot make any adjustment. When happiness and distress comes of your own accord, you have to adjust. And what is that? Tamti tiksasva bharata. So therefore this verse follows this principle verse which Srila Prabhupada preached so much on. You are not this body, you are the spirit soul. Now the only way to become purified from the bodily conception of life is not to associate with non-devotees. But the only way you associate with non-devotees is to preach to them to become devotees by giving association, but not taking. So therefore, we do not have to tolerate the association of non-devotees. There's no need. If a non-devotee insults you, that is not Vaishnava aparad. That is not envy. He's just in the innocence of his ignorance. He doesn't know better. And you know you're not going to live with that non-devotee. well, you know, he doesn't know what's a devotee, and you'll discount it. You won't even keep any grudge. But if a devotee insults another devotee, huh? What is this? Like that. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada, is, and by higher arrangement, he has given us the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to actually stay in the association of devotees, because only in the association of devotees, irrespective of the level of adhikar, irrespective of the level of advancement, like that. So when we stay in the association of devotees, then what happens? Then only you have to tolerate the association of devotees to become free from the misidentification of the body or the bodily conception of life. Otherwise one cannot become free. So therefore, tam titiksasva bharata. Like that. So what happens when one tolerates the association of devotees? The more you tolerate the association of devotees, the less you have to put the effort to tolerate. And then you'll come to a stage in one's consciousness where you do not have to tolerate the association of devotees, because it is natural for you. You do not even consider that I should tolerate. And therefore, trinadapi sune chena taror api sahishnuna amanena manadena kitaneya sadahari, means that the visible action of humility is tolerance of the association of devotees. And when you are 100% tolerant of the association of devotees, you do not know that you are tolerating, because there's no more effort involved. There's no more effort involved. And that is called the extreme feature of natural humility, which enters into another feature of consciousness of that particular devotee, unknowingly to that devotee. Like that. In other words, if anybody says, I am humble, that means he is puffed up, is proud. Humility in the consciousness of a devotee, in the associations of devotees, is not for show, is not for propagation, is not for advertisement, is not for argument, is not for logic, is not for reasoning, is not for debate, and it is not for philosophy, and neither it is understood. So when a devotee is genuinely humble, due to not knowing that he is tolerating the association of devotees, something else enters into the consciousness of that particular person. And what is that? That devotee feels that he is the bitter mango. And he feels everyone else is higher than him being the bitter mango. So that devotee feels that I am not a devotee. He feels that I know that in the association of devotees, they are associating with me, but I am bitter to associate with. So how is it that the other devotees who are associating with me, knowing that I am so bitter, still they are associating with me? Like that. There's something wrong with them. That I am so bitter to associate with, and still by their mercy and by their compassion, they're keeping me in the association. So therefore that devotee becomes completely bewildered. That I know that don't have any adhikar, I don't have any eligibility, I do not deserve to be in the association of devotees. Like that. And every time they associate with me, I cringe. I feel I'm just contaminating them more and more by my bitter consciousness. The devotee feels like that. And why does he feel like that? Because he knows that everyone else is tolerating him or her.
So if everyone else is tolerating him or her, there's no reason for him to tolerate others because everyone is tolerating him. Like that. So when the person feels like that, he feels, when will that day come when I'll be eligible? When actually I'll have some qualification to chant the holy name. When will that day come to chant the holy name? Like that. And he chants the holy name in a state of consciousness unknowing to himself or herself that I am not even qualified to chant Hare Krishna. But somehow my lips are moving. Somehow Krishna wants to enter the ears. I'm not qualified for this, but still, somehow I am there. Somehow. How is it? How is it? So the consciousness of seeing everyone else as more qualified than oneself and seeing oneself as that formative stage of a mango. And you know a mango that is very small in the tree? It's like a stage where even when you bite into it, it's super bitter. It's not even bitter sour. Like that. So the devotee feels, I do not deserve this. I do not deserve to chant Hare Krishna, neither do I deserve to be in the association of devotees. And then he feels, I do not even deserve to honor even one grain of prasad. Every grain becomes valuable for the devotee in that sense. And that type of person, consciousness of devotee, is completely free from this ichcha dvesha, from this desire, material desire and hate or envy of not only devotees but for every living entity. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, you know, embodies, is the personification of such a consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada's sincere and serious followers, even for generations to come beyond my own lifetime, will embody that consciousness also. Of course, I do not have much time to get into other things, so if you have any comments from our experienced and realized devotees, especially our direct disciples of Srila Prabhupada, if you have any comment, please share your wisdom and realizations. And then after that, we'll take some questions in general from anyone. Bhima Prabhu, something you'd like to share? Yaduva, please? Anything? Any words will purify us, please. Varna Karta, right? Something you want to say? We will need to hear, not about the class, but...
Very nice class, Maharaj, thank you. Talking about devotees and different moods and all that is important for devotees to hear these things. And because really, the association of devotees is all we have.
Yes.
And we can never jump over devotees to Krishna. Mm-hmm. We have to really respect all the Vaishnavas and appreciate them. Yeah, Prabhupada said if someone comes to the temple one time and puts their foot in the door, they should be considered a great soul. Mm-hmm. So what to speak of all the devotees who are trying so hard to serve. And so we should really respect one another and try to serve each other and ultimately fall in love with Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. You know, he's so, you know, he hit it right on the proper spot, in a sense. Our only wealth is not money, is not buildings, is not facility, and so forth. Our only wealth are devotees. You know, even if there's drought or famine, but we have devotees and we have the holy name. It's only wealth. There's really nothing else like that. But when facility and when opulence and when buildings are there, if it comes in the way of the wealth of devotees, you should be careful. And that will lead to envy, that will lead to disparity, that will lead to polarization of relationships. So don't allow facility and buildings and material opulence to be in the way of your actual wealth, which is actually devotees. Like that. Thank you. Devakinanda Prabhu, anything? Please? Prajahari? Say something, you don't say anything in class. I feel a little small here because there's so many wonderful devotees here. It's a little embarrassing to give class and in front of seniors to me who are no senior in all respect. But we try to serve. Yes?
This example of living with other devotees who in all levels, from the neophyte to advanced. Srila Prabhupada compared the temples to a hospital.
Okay.
And obviously in the hospital, people go there to get well.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's not well. Most people are not well.
Yes.
So sometimes newcomers may come and expect everyone to become very, to act very properly and be very pure.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just not the case.
Yes.
So we have to understand that in ourselves and others that we have... We are conditioned,
mm-hmm.
and to take the advice of the doctor,
yes.
then relieve us of our condition. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? We have any comments or questions?
Yes. I have a question.
No, comment is better. Maybe you can answer your own question.
Oh, you are talking about...
He's senior, such a senior person.
You are talking about one should not hear the blaspheme of Krishna and devotees. I mean, that's very right, but sometimes it's bewildering to see that when Draupadi was insulted, Vishnu Pitama was there, he didn't say anything, he kept mum. Same way when Sisupal was blaspheming Krishna and the Pandavas, Vishnu Pitama was there, who was one of the Mahajana, and he kept mum. Can you please explain a little bit the intricacy of this?
Srila Prabhupada says in one purport that when he puts his devotees to extreme trials and tribulations, it brings out the glory of the devotee. Like that. So basically there are two reasons why Krishna allowed that to happen. Krishna will never allow his devotee to be insulted. What to speak of a chaste woman? Like that. So Krishna allowed Draupadi to be insulted in the assembly so that that offense will wipe out Adharma completely. The whole Kaurava dynasty. Like that. Srila Prabhupada says in one purport, it was sufficient that Dushasan just touched, and he uses the word, the glorified hair of Draupadi. He uses the word glorified. Draupadi. Just by touching a hair, whole Kaurava dynasty was vanquished. Adharma was finished. Like that. So then the question remains, which is your question, why is it that she was still dragged and she was so much humiliated by Duryodhana and company? Why? That is like that. So we know that Srila Prabhupada, at least Krishna, wanted to glorify Draupadi in another way, like that. And Draupadi was clinging, you know, to actually still protect the last remnants of a chastity. And the last remnants of a chastity is that they should not disrobe me. Like that. And Draupadi in Leela, this is called, you could say, Leela Shakti. Draupadi is always pure. But when Krishna performs something under the Leela Shakti of the Lord, it gives us a lesson. Not for Draupadi. Just like Arjuna is in Maya, Arjuna is in Maha Maya within Yoga Maya. Actually, he is not in Maya as we are. So that Bhagavad Gita could be spoken for our benefit, not for Arjuna's benefit. Because only a pure devotee can be in Maya within the Leela Shakti of the Lord. So therefore, Draupadi, in a sense, within the Leela Shakti of the Lord, has to give up one feature, and this is the last remnants of a chastity. Like that. At the same time, not losing that last remnants of a chastity to these demoniac men, the Kauravas. Like that. So when Krishna allowed her to be almost disrobed, we know what happened. Before Krishna could incarnate as the sari, Draupadi was holding on with one hand to her sari, not to be completely disrobed. She was holding on. So Krishna says, no, I will not come now as the incarnation of the sari. And famously Srila Prabhupada said, when Draupadi released her other hand and put her two hands up and said, hey Govinda, then Krishna says, this is Atma Nivedanam. She gave up a chastity for Govinda, not gave up a chastity to be humiliated by the Kauravas. At that time, Krishna incarnated as the sari. Like that. So then the question is asked, Bhishma Dev is a Mahajan. How come he allowed this to happen? Like that. So at the same time, Bhishma Dev spoke so much culture of Krishna consciousness to Yudhisthira, lying on the bed of arrows thereafter, and so forth. So Srila Prabhupada comments in the purport that if you are against Krishna and if you are for Krishna, you're still a devotee. You're still a devotee. And Prabhupada comments in another place that Bhishma Dev was obliged out of duty to anyone who sits as the king. He was obliged out of duty. So he followed Dharma first at the expense of not being Krishna conscious to be Krishna conscious, which is within the Leela Shakti of the Lord, so that he could speak in the presence of Krishna to Yudhisthira on the bed of the arrows. He had to be coming to that stage of living in the presence of Krishna in that way. And Srila Prabhupada also says that this is virya-ras. You have to be opposite to Krishna to be in chivalry with Krishna in relation to Bhishma Dev. Like that. So there are other reasons also, but the principal reason is that for Krishna, you even have to give up your chastity. And that is Draupadi. Just like the gopis, Prabhupada said. They gave up all moral, social and ethical values for Krishna. Even giving up the chastity. Even giving up being faithful or loyal to the husbands. So this is what Draupadi did. When she lifted up the second hand, when she had just had one hand, and she said, hey Govinda, he brought her to that point of Atma Nivedanam, full surrender. Of course, there can be further discussions on the point also. It may take more time. Is it all right for now? For now. Okay. I'm not sure we should stop at a particular time. What time do you stop now? Can stop now? Is that okay? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anant Kuri Vaishnav Vrind ki jai. Kantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Go Premanande.